Barely a week goes by without a reminder of the unaffordable and unavailable rental housing market in Australia. Rents have gone up on average by more than 25% in the past 3 years. And the number of places available to rent has rarely been so small. So if it is difficult to find a place, then the situation is even more fraught for international students.Hundreds of thousands of them come to Australia each year, looking for a home. But many have no knowledge of the housing market, no contacts when they get here, and no understanding of their rights. And because it is competitive to find a rental in Australia, some of those are turning to brokers in their own country to find a home. In this story,We will see how those arrangements are making a stressful situation even more difficult and costly for the students. I'm Gwen Liu from the University of Melbourne and now a reporter with the Courier newspaper in Ballarat on Wadawurrung country. From the junction, this is Making a Difference.Just a note before we start.All the students we interviewed asked us to protect their identity so it would not harm their chances for rentals in the future. We have changed their names and used actors. When Caroline and her partner Vicky were planning to move from China to Melbourne, they were excited but anxious.
International students like us,without an Australian renting record and still outside the country, barely have a chance of getting an apartment.
The couple had been researching the rental market for months before moving. They knew it was tight and they knew they were behind the locals who were looking in the same market. While researching, Vicky and Caroline became aware of companies that acted as rental brokers for people moving to Australia.They contacted one of them. Its website had a Chinese phone number and they seemed legitimate. So Caroline and Vicky got in touch with them through Chinese social media.
They told us that they can help us with the renting application and they had partnerships with local real estate agencies to increase the chance of success.
At the time, the company had listed 12 official Australia partners on its website. This included 9 real estate agencies and 2 student accommodation providers. Caroline and Vicky showed me the exchanges they had with the company. They paid them $268 for their services.
They asked us things like, are we prepared to offer a higher price on the rent?Or pay a few months rent in advance so we could improve our competitiveness.
The company helped them apply for 2 properties and in doing so, they agreed to pay 3 months rent in advance. Neither application was successful. But on learning of their experience, I was keen to find out how a company based in China was helping people secure a place to live in Melbourne.So I contacted some of the official partners in Australia that were listed on the company's website. 4 real estate agencies denied any relationship with the rental broker in China. And then a few days after that, all of the official partners' names disappeared from the company's website. Jacob Kim is the president of the Real Estate Institute of Victoria.And even he had not heard of these rental broker services. He says these companies might be providing useful services, but buyer beware.
It might be technically legal to provide like a finder's fee. I suspect it probably is technically legal. Depends on what the nature of the agreement looks like in terms of what they're guaranteeing, becauseI don't see how you could guarantee that. So maybe it's only the fee of $600 is only applicable if, if they actually place someone. It's a really competitive landscape, and it's very hard to navigate that.
This is the problem for people such as Vicky and Caroline. As they try to navigate their way through the Australian housing market, they don't know the city they are moving to, they don't know the agents, and they don't know the local laws. Those laws include rental reforms introduced in Victoria in 2021. Agents cannot ask for rent above the advertised price, and they cannot ask for rent in advance of more than a month if the rent is less than $900 a week. These reforms apply to landlords and their agents, but it is unclear if they also include brokers and other parties. As a result, the company Vicky and Caroline dealt with, or any other agency, does not appear to have broken any laws. The company did respond to my questions about the way it operates. It said they know rent beating is illegal in most of Australia. They wrote in an email,
"We provide suggestions based on the current rental market, but would never force or mislead our customers to offer a higher price or pay upfront to take the property, although we know it is a common phenomenon in the rental market in many states in Australia."
The spokesperson was adamant that the company operates transparently.
"We are a proxy of the renters, and we are also a collaborator of the local real estate companies. No one can guarantee success."
Caroline and Vicky eventually secured a place before they left China through the rent broking company. A look on Chinese social media found many companies offering property broking services in Australia. There's no suggestion their activities are illegal either. But leaders in the real estate and education sectors are concerned for international students. Phil Honeywell is the head of the International Education Association. He says students rely on information sources in their own country when planning to live and study in Australia. But it is also difficult to keep tabs on information being fed to those students.
Sometimes it's very hard for Australian government authorities to really discover what's happening behind the scene or behind closed doors. But we find so often that international students, for cultural reasons, will not come forward and report.
Clear open this public hearing of the Trade Subcommittee of the...
The exploitation of international students has come to the attention of a committee in Federal Parliament. It is holding an inquiry into the international education sector since borders reopened after COVID. Appearing at the inquiry was Jeffrey Smart, who is the director of the Ligon Group, an organization that works in international education.
Mr. Smart.
The accommodation crisis is intensifying, if you like, and has intensified over time as students face new scams, as students struggle with cost of living and struggle to get a foot in the door. The scams that we hear about from students online are across every type of accommodation, unfortunately.
Mr. Smart says one of the most common traps for international students is being asked to pay rent in advance.
We suspect there's an element of both. So scams originating onshore and scams originating offshore in lots of different ways, really. The accommodation scam that we picked up many months ago seemed to relate to students paying for rent in advance from offshore to an apparently reputable real estate agent, but then finding that the contract they'd signed was slightly different from the real estate agent based in this particular case based in Sydney. Money disappeared, and the student is then left high and dry. So we suspect it's not the real estate agent at all. In fact, in some cases, real estate agents could be caught up in scams as well. So it's very hard to tell, on balance, how many of these are originating in Australia versus offshore.
All of these conditions are creating the perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
Ray, who's a student from Wuhan in China, paid $750 to a property broking company for a lease on a Melbourne apartment. His application was successful, and he entered a contract with the landlord in Australia. But shortly after moving, the 21-year-old student and his flatmate received a bill for $34,000 for 6 months' rent in advance. The amount was due in 2 days. When preparing his application, the broker in China had suggested to Ray that he paid months in advance, but he said no to the idea.
I thought rent was paid monthly, so I signed leasing contract directly without double-checking.
It turns out the contracts negotiated by the broker did stipulate rent in advance. Ray and his flatmate had to pay the full $34,000. In the end, they managed to negotiate payment over 3 months. I emailed the broker, who is licensed and based in China. A spokesperson told me customers had the right to choose their apartment and sign the contracts. They added that the company would help with any issues once the tenant moved in. But Ray said when he asked about the bill, the broker replied via text. It is written in the contract. It has nothing to do with us. Kai is another student who came to Melbourne from China. He paid a fee to another Chinese-based company for a lease on a one-bedroom apartment. The rent was $600 a week. But after Kai arrived in Melbourne, he found out that 5 similar apartments in the same building were listed at $500 a week or less. A consultant from the agency in China told me the company helps tenants find a home in Australia, but they never force them to choose their service. In all of these cases, the Chinese students I spoke to said they had paid a Chinese language broker, but never signed a contract with them. As is standard in Australia, the lease is always with the landlord or property manager. What it highlights is the dilemma for these students. They are planning to move to a new country and don't want to turn up and spend weeks looking for a place, not to mention spending lots of money on temporary accommodation. So the students turn to people who offer a service in their own language. And then they hope it all works out. The broker does the right things by them, and so too does the real estate agency in Australia. International students can also be exploited from within their own communities in Australia. The issue came up in the federal inquiry. Dr. Angela Lehman, who is also from the Ligon Group, says students have to be careful about offers of help.
I don't think it's a particular cohort, but each particular cohort has its specific risks and vulnerabilities. So if I talk about the Chinese cohort, for example, what we're seeing are reports of Chinese people in Australia, members of the diasporic community, who are taking advantage to some degree of the vulnerable students offshore who are looking to get back to Australia by offering to act as a middleman on their behalf. So we hear reports of students saying that someone on Chinese social media, and this is why social media is so important to understand, because a lot of this is where this is taking place, is that students are being offered to have someone in Australia go and view a property or sign up a property before they leave China. So this opens up a world of risk, I think, for students.
You can see the danger for students. In their desperation to find a place, they trust people who speak their language and live in the country. Phil Honeywood from the International Education Association calls it same culture exploitation. the students are often reluctant to say anything if it all goes wrong.
Culturally, a lot of students are embarrassed or ashamed or worried that they might be punished by somebody from their own culture if they report bad behaviour. What we have to do is get more international students to come forward and to understand that in a country like Australia, if you do report exploitation in the job, if you report exploitation in the rental market, then authorities will chase this, they will follow up on it.
Others think the focus needs to be on the support for students. The director at Tenants Victoria is Farah Farouk. She believes universities have a responsibility as well.
But often students are so desperate for accommodation that they can be exploited, particularly exacerbated by the current rental crisis.
All of this has a significant influence on the rental market. In 2023, more than 500,000 international students came to Australia. Figures from the Federal Education Department showed 60% of students who come here end up in a private rental. Research says the median rental price across the country has hit $600 a week. And the vacancy rate in Australia, that is, the percentage of all rental properties that are available, is just 0.8%.
With these scams, is that all coming from Australia? Is it all coming from...
There was an interesting exchange in the federal inquiry when National Party MP Michael McCormack wondered about the impact of this issue.
What can we as a government, as a country, do better to combat those scams? Because it reflects upon all of us. It reflects upon our institutions. It reflects upon our government. It reflects upon our nation when international students in good faith are coming here and being ripped off.
Universities and government departments are being urged to increase their presence on platforms such as Chinese social media to get information to students. Equally, there was some advice for international students from the industry leaders I spoke to. They say don't ever pay for accommodation you haven't seen, particularly when you are negotiating from overseas. It's good advice, but it's also not that simple. International students like Vicky, Ray, and Kai can become desperate. They know they might be exploited, but sadly, that's overweighed by the relief of just putting a roof over their head.
It was stressful, particularly when you are not in the country. We have never been here and we did have to place our trust in people we didn't know. In the end, we found a home, and as difficult as it was, we just want to get on with our study and our new life in Australia.
This story was written and produced by me, Gwen Liu. Links to my original story on the independent news site, Crikey, and the University of Melbourne publication, The Citizen, can be found in the show notes. Making a Difference is a production by The Junction. You can subscribe on your favorite podcast app. And for more stories from the best student journalism in Australia, go to the website junctionjournalism.com. Thanks for listening. Next time on Making a Difference.
But I also understand that food has that power. For people who have moved away from their home country, preparing, cooking, and sharing these dishes is solace, a grounding point within foreign ground.
All my friends are like, we're planning to go to Australia just for study, we'll have fun, we'll get that freedom. And then out of three, including me, I was the fourth, all three people got rejected visa. I was the only one who got the visa. You know, now I'm all alone.
So there's that extra step in making friends, Anish tells me, where you have to learn about the country first before attempting to become a part of it.
What I've been through, what life has taught me, and just the experiences, I don't think I would change a thing as well.